This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only national golf talk radio and TV program. Presented by TaylorMade. Golf has a new game-changing number. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI 10 Max. Only from TaylorMade. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to learn more about the QI 10 Carbon Woods. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Well, good morning. Welcome inside GTC. The whole gang is here on this, may I say, lovely morning in the GTA. Adam Scully, Bob Weeks, Mark Sacchino here. Highs of 11 degrees Celsius. Gone is that snowfall from last Friday. Saturday, here we are. Mark, I know where you are in Florida. Guessing no remnants of snow?
No, it's warm, even up in the Northeast. I'm really encouraged, guys. I haven't looked at an Augusta forecast, but I'm about as close as you can get in Georgia. I'm about as close as you can get in Florida to the Georgia line. And next week, it is up into the 30s here. It's going to be hot, and it's warm already. So if it's already hot here, maybe we get a hot Masters. We haven't had a hot Masters in a while, right? It's kind of been cool and damp and not really shorts weather as far as I can remember. I remember Bob, was it last year you were freezing on set with the sweater and the blanket?
Last year it was cold and it was rainy and it was ugly. So I'd be very happy if it's a warm one. I've been to the Masters where I've worn toques and I've worn shorts and almost wanted to take your top off. It was so hot in some cases. So you never know what you're going to get there. Coincidentally, I did get an email this morning out of nowhere from the U.S. weather.
I think we might have lost Bob's connection there briefly. Anyway, let's... Mark,
I'm curious what weather.
Yes, so
email
I'm curious
he got.
About this
Aren't
too.
You curious? He left us on a cliffhanger.
He did, and as you know, Mark, it is my first time going to the Masters this year, and you're going to be shocked by this. I have looked at the forecast. I've been logging the forecast. When I wake up, sort of Augusta, what are we expecting? And as of right now, temperatures look to be sort of 20 to 23 degrees Celsius throughout the week at the Masters. Okay. So. Might be coming home with a suntan, who knows? But yeah, certainly excited to be going to the Masters for the first time. I believe we have Bob back on the line. Bob, you were talking about weather and the Masters.
I was just saying that I got a weather forecast from the United States Weather Association that predicts this is going to be the worst year on record in terms of hurricanes and hurricane strength. So hopefully it'll be after the 15th of April when the Augusta's down there. And I do want to say one other quick thing is... congratulations. We're on Zoom as we're broadcasting this. And I just want to congratulate you two guys on wearing different shirts today. Cause you, for the taping of Golf Talk Canada yesterday, you had the same shirt on.
I feel like, are we going to need a group chat Tuesday mornings when we tape GTC? Here's what I'm wearing, going in here, trying something bold, trying something different. Maybe. I don't know, but Mark, for the amount of Adidas apparel we have, the fact that we both showed up with that color, it wasn't like it was just a black shirt or a blue shirt or a pink shirt. This thing had some design and color to it.
Well, if I recall correctly, gents, that was one of the pieces we received in Kapalua this year together, I think. So that is one of the 2024 pieces I have. I don't, outside of a couple of amazing pairs of shoes, I don't really have any 2024 stuff yet. So that's one of my few 2024 pieces. So I brought it with me. And of course, I left Toronto, I can't even remember how long ago. Looking forward to getting home, guys. Got to be honest with you. I feel like this is the golf tournament that's never ended. I just started calling a golf tournament about 5 weeks ago, and it's still going on. That's what it feels like. So I'm looking forward to getting home, excuse me, grabbing some of the new gear and taking a look. So Adam, once I'm home and we're both working out of a full closet as opposed to a piece of luggage, hopefully this we can avoid this moving forward, but who knows?
I don't know. It's either we all wear different things or maybe we all just show up wearing the same shirt every week.
Ooh, I like that. Uniform. Golf Talk Canada uniforms.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought you guys were getting ready for the member guests. Maybe that's what I thought you guys were doing. They were warming up.
A little early, but possibly, Bob. That's a good idea. Maybe we should try out a few outfits beforehand.
I know, Mark, that whatever we do wear this year when we defend our title, I think I believe the color scheme was lucid yellow, those shoes we wore. I think those have to be worn again, regardless of the top.
So maybe we just go full navy with the lucid yellow strides. And, anything worth doing in life, you've got to practice before it's time to get her done, right? Look at Bob and I. You know, we had a couple of, we'd like to practice with wives and then get into our real relationships, things of that nature, right? So, I mean, why would you do anything for the first time if you really, hadn't worked at it first and did some practice? So I think our apparel's the same thing.
I don't know how to segue from that. I do know, Mark, that I think those outfits we wore are in the Hall of Fame or something, so we'll have to get them out, right?
I'll have to ask L.A., Lawrence Applebaum, tell L.A. we want these in a wing out at Golf House when we have the new unveiling up at TPC Toronto, and that we want our lucid yellow member guest outfits on display at all times. We could right beside Weirzy's outfit for the 03 Masters.
That's a lot to unpack right there. Anyways, another fun show today. We are going to profile Cabot Citrus Farms. Now, we did this on television, which aired last night, midnight on TSN2, and 9 p.m. Pacific as well. And it'll air a couple times throughout the day on TSN Today as well. It's on our YouTube channel, too. So we'll profile Cabot Citrus Farms. We'll take a look at Mackenzie Hughes and his bid to qualify for the Masters. We know what he needs to do this week. So we'll discuss Mackenzie Hughes and a couple of superstars in the world of golf looking for the three-peat. Scottie Scheffler on the PGA Tour and Nelly Korda on the LPGA Tour. Let's kick things off with some news and some headlines.
News and headlines are brought to you by Sandbagger Hard Seltzer. Sandbagger, everybody knows one.
Lots of news going on in the world of golf in the last couple of days since we were last live on the air. And starting with the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, which is a team event. And a couple of notable players have signed on to play together. Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry, two countrymen, two guys who have played together before. They were Olympians together, too. Mark, how big of a push or a pump is this for the Zurich tournament?
I think it's huge. Again, how many weeks can you play golf? I mean, there's so much golf. And at some point, you've got to say, I need a week off. I need a week away from this. The Zurich went to that team format a few years ago to try to, separate themselves from the rest of the PGA Tour schedule and see if they could track a field. And, they've got some pretty cool pairs over the years. We've seen some cool Canadian pairs. Of course, Cantley Schauffele. We saw some Australian pairs in the past that were kind of cool. This is great. I love it. I think it's good for Rory, too, guys. I love that he initiated this. I feel like there's this energy of seriousness around Rory now all the time. That's like, it just doesn't fit his persona, his makeup. It's like he's trying too hard and having concentration issues. And Rory's at his best when he looks like he's playing with his buddies on a Friday at 4 o'clock. That's when he's at his best, right? Just freewheeling it. 64 backdoor Sunday at Augusta, playing up to the crowd, waving his hands in the air. I think Rory needs more of this. This is cool.
I think it's really cool too, Bob, and something that I'm sure a lot of listeners can relate to is how they decided that they were going to play together. And apparently they were having a nice celebratory lunch, perhaps enjoying a couple glasses of grape juice, maybe a sandbag or something of that like. But honestly, Bob, it was cool to see Rory be so honest about how they decided to play together.
That's one of the best qualities about Rory and interviewing him is that he is honest and he'll give you the forthright answer whether you like it or not or whether it's good or bad, whatever. But he basically said they went out to lunch shortly after the Ryder Cup to do a little celebration and it turned into a liquid lunch. And as you said, it could have been some red bingo or it might have been a couple of pints of Guinness. Who knows? And they decided they were going to play together and Shane Lowry was available because his usual partner was Padraig Harrington. And now Padraig is, of course, on the Champions Tour, and so that made him a free agent. And the two of them are going to play together. as our last year's runner-up with Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin. So we'll see if there's any more sort of international Olympic-style duos that are going to play in this event. And I think a lot of guys really enjoy this because it is a serious golf tournament, obviously, and it comes with all the regular benefits you get from winning. But it's a lot of fun, and it's something that they don't do week in and week out. And anytime you can change it up for these guys, I think is a good thing.
You know, it's so interesting. So it's the week after RBC Heritage, right? So we go Masters, we go RBC Heritage, and then we go Zurich Classic of New Orleans. So this is still early enough in the schedule where if you had, like, a Canadian win, like of a Taylor or Hadwin, you could really shake up Olympics. And then not as much because there's a longer run. There's still a lot of length left in that race, but President's Cup. Because to Bob's point, this is real. You're going to get points. You're going to get all these things that come with a regular PGA Tour victory. So because it's a real event and a team event, how cool would it be? Canadian victory, you add Canadian wins, you add Olympic points, you add President's Cup points. I mean, who knows?
And speaking of the Olympics, a little later in the show, we're going to take a look at something fun FanDuel has put on their app with which Canadian pair on the men's side have the best chance of playing together. We'll take a deep dive into that in hour two. Now, going down some other news in the world of golf, the TGL officially launching January 7th, 2025 in primetime on ESPN. And Bob, we know all the issues that happened with the TGL, both in the structure of everything that happened, some players who have since gone to live since the TGL was shut down for 2024. What's your level of intrigue about TGL?
I'm kind of really interested for it because it's, unlike LIV, it's a totally different kind of golf, kind of format. I'm interested to see what it's going to look like. You know, when we interviewed Jay Monahan a couple of weeks ago, he rolled out this stat to me, which I thought was very surprising, which was that the number of new golfers in the world, or I think he said the United States probably, far more of them are playing indoors. They're playing on simulators. They're playing on Topgolf. They're playing on Drive Shack. They're all playing in there first, and then some of them are transporting over to the regular game as we know it. So I think this could be a huge driver of people to take up the sport. If we consider the sport anyone who's playing golf, whether they're inside or outside or in a driving range atmosphere, then I think this has some pretty important legs too.
Mark, for you, what do you think about TGL?
Yeah, I mean, to double down on what Bob said, it's interesting the growth of the game, where it's come from. Right? It's not traditional avenues, so to speak, anymore. There was some interesting news about it as well, guys. I don't know if you saw, but there's going to be three or four timeouts allowed per captain, per side. There's going to be a shot clock. So you're going to have to, like, hit your shot, perform your task, however the rules break down, within a certain allotted period of time, or there'll be penalties. So it's going to be, like, very different. I like it because of what Bob said. This is a complete departure. You know, it's not a version of it's not a different version of the PGA Tour. Like, we're not taking 72 hole stroke and we're going to make it 54 hole shotgun. No, this is something totally different. It doesn't look like anything we've ever seen and probably won't perform like anything we've ever seen. It's an interesting time of year to do this, right in the middle of the NFL playoffs. There's a lot of sports going on in January. They're going to compete against NFL, NBA, NHL. I am curious. You know what I'm really curious? Of course, curling, Bob. Of course. I don't believe the Harlem Globetrotters have started their season yet in January. But we don't know if the Globetrotters will still even be playing in January of 25, so we'll have to wait and see on that. Of course, I'm referring to the Golf Globetrotters. What I'm really curious about, guys, is what the audience numbers will look like for this on the third and fourth week versus week one and two. I think we're going to get a big pop on curiosity, right? I've got to see what this looks like. And then, of course, there's the Tiger pop that comes along with that. And then when we get down to the finals, in semifinals, which normally the numbers would be bigger as you would go deeper into a playoff in a sport, right? But I'm wondering if that's going to be the case, or if the curiosity factor will wear off early, and we'll see who stays with this.
Yeah, I'm still really curious about this whole thing. It's more golf. I don't know. There's a lot to unpack there. And before we wrap here and go to break, Mark, you mentioned ratings, and for the PGA Tour, the Valspar Championship, ratings down 27% versus last year. And I know there's a lot of other sports going on, i.e. March Madness, which obviously has a lot of huge ratings. I guess the bigger thing will compare and contrast what the ratings will be for the Masters, because the Masters is always the most highly rated golf program by a country mile, I would think. But Mark, still 27%, that's a pretty high number.
Yeah, I think it's multiple factors. I'm very curious at Augusta to see what happens, because on occasion, and generally speaking over the years, the Augusta National and the Masters has been bulletproof must-watch TV, pretty much, generally speaking. I used to say my grandmother didn't know the difference between a bocce ball and a golf ball, but she watched Augusta so she could just see the colors and the flowers, right? There's something different about it. And in a Canadian perspective, there's a relationship Canadians have with Augusta that I think sometimes very different than the rest of the world and certainly the continent, because it is kind of our birthright to spring in a way where it introduces patio season and barbecue season and all these, you know, we've been dormant as a country. So it's symbolic of other stuff that I always think has helped. Now, let's peel that back to Valspar and even Players Championship, where the numbers were down last Sunday. I think there are multiple factors here, guys. I think the Players Championship was St. Patrick's Day. That certainly affected it. Spring has hit in a large part of the world. Like, some of these spring-like numbers are pretty good. People are outside. They're doing things. They're not strapped to a TV. But like I've said from day one, LIV never wins. No one ever watches LIV. No one ever cares about the Globetrotters. But they're great at disrupting. And their victories come in tearing down other things. And the PGA Tour has taken bullets. They have been hurt. They have been damaged by LIV. I don't believe that's not in question. And I think this is partly a result of that. And I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I think after 2 years of this garbage and this BS, part of the casual golf fan and maybe that last 20% that tunes into golf are completely disenchanted with professional golf and are sick and tired of the war, sick and tired of millionaires fighting over billionaires. And maybe it's a bit of a turnoff, guys. Maybe that's part of the end result in this.
Bob, what do you think? This 27% down from last year at the Valspar Championship, but overall, the ratings in golf, what do you think?
I think there is a drop-off. I don't know if 27% is something that you can blame totally on just people getting disenchanted with golf. I think there's always a bunch of other reasons. As Mark pointed out, weather is a big factor. If people can do things outdoors on a weekend, then they're not going to watch as much golf. It depends on the field strength. It depends on you know, the storylines that go into it. So I'm always a little bit nervous to sort of say, oh my gosh, we're in a depression. But let's look at all the factors. When the Masters is over, we'll go back and look at the ratings for the events from January to April and see where they are and see where they've dropped off. I'm not saying that it hasn't dropped off, because when Commissioner Monahan gave his State of the Union address from the Players Championship a couple of weeks ago, he used the word fan engagement and fan, you know, like trying to work with the fans. I think he said it was like 48 times in his hour press conference. So there is a noted focus by the PGA Tour on working with putting the fans first, working with doing things that are going to create better engagement both at the events themselves and on television.
You know, there's something else that we're also not considering here too, and people love headlines, right? And Bob, you know this is better than anybody. Like, some of the people in our community will just post a headline to get the clickbait, to get the action. You know, they're saying ratings are down 20-some-odd percent. Are they giving an accumulated... Is that based on an NBC number? because people are consuming golf in different ways. Like, are they taking into consideration all the people who watched golf on the weekend and for 4 days on PGA Tour Live, which is in Canada on TSN Plus and in America on ESPN Plus, people digesting it through digital means, through social media, etc. I mean, we got to be careful, I think, when we... I'm not suggesting for a second that the numbers might not be down and whatnot. What I'm saying is it's not as big as the number they're saying. And to Bob's point, we're engaging players on different ways. And I know, you know, especially in America, that ESPN Plus subscriber base that's been going on for many years prior to TSN Plus. So they've got, you know, multi-year head start to TSN Plus. Runs deep. There are, like, I don't know how many millions of people subscribe to it, but it's tens of millions that subscribe to ESN Plus that watch golf on their PGA Tour Live subscription. So, I mean, we got to be careful when we throw around the numbers and take 27% as like a firm number, firm line.
That's a good point. There are many different ways that we can watch and consume our content now, whether it's golf or any sport or anything for that matter. Okay, we're just getting started here on GTC. When we come back, we're going to discuss Scottie Scheffler and Nelly Korda, both going for the three-peat. And stay tuned later in the show. Mark had day one in the gym on Monday. How is he feeling? What's going to change? That's coming up as well right here on GTC.
This segment of GTC was presented by TaylorMade and the new QI10 Carbon Woods. Experience TaylorMade speed with the forgiveness of 10K inertia with the all-new QI10 Max, only from TaylorMade. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today.
Lots of exciting announcements coming from us on GTC next week, including from our friends from Movember. Stay tuned to our social media channels for that. Now, speaking of facial hair, that's where I'm going to bring in Scottie Scheffler, because Scottie Scheffler is looking for the... That was a horrendous segue. Scottie Scheffler
is... I was wondering where he was going with that, Bob.
Yeah, neither did I for a split second. But Scottie Scheffler going for the three-peat this week, but he's going with a different look. The beard is gone. The beard is gone. We're calling it... It looks like a 5 o'clock shadow now anyway, so... I was kind of hoping for the Graham Dillette playoff beard circa 2013. Uh-huh. That thing had some character. TSN hockey analyst Chris Johnston has a pretty hefty beard going as well, too. Anyway, Scottie Scheffler, no beard, but in all seriousness, going for the three-peat. His odds on FanDuel right now, they opened at plus 300. Now they're plus 270. Plus 270. Mark, what do you think? Scottie Scheffler, can he get it done this week?
I've been saying it. Like, I mean, I'm going to sound like a broken record, guys, but now that he's putting half decent, and he feels comfortable. And I think the most important thing here, guys, is now after back-to-back wins, he probably believes in his own mind that he has figured out the putter. That, you know, that's the most important thing. Because I don't think any of us ever thought that he was never going to figure out how to putt again. And to Bob's point, because Bob has reminded us over the year that if we went back a year ago to the Players' Championship, he putted beautifully with that putter, that same basic. So it's not that he can't putt. But the further you go down a well, the further you go down a hole where you don't see the ball going in and you keep trying the same thing over and over again and the hole disappears on you, it can land that, you know, you start not believing that that hole is ever going to open up again. Okay, well, that we're behind that now. And now that we're behind that, I mean, how is he not the favorite every week? And I'll say, if he doesn't have a chance to win on Sunday, I'll be absolutely shocked. Listen, winning's hard. You listen to these guys every week. Winning's, like Mackenzie Hughes' comments on Sunday were really cool. But, you know, you got to keep playing well, put yourself there more often, because look at Scottie Scheffler last year, put himself there every week and, you know, couldn't get it done for almost a year. Here's a better odd. I wish someone could get me the odds of. What are the odds of Scottie Scheffler not finishing top five? What are the odds of Scottie Scheffler not having a chance to win on Sunday? So I would put that like top five right? Like, Bob, would you agree with that? Like, if he's kind of top five, that's a way of, you know, statistically kind of equating he had a chance to win within reason. If someone goes out there and shoots a bunch of course records and wins by 10 shots, that's a different story. But pushing an outlier aside like that, if he's top five come Sunday, I got to think that means he had a chance to win. And I got to think, Bob, for him, top five is paying almost nothing this week.
Yeah. I mean, that's it's hard to kind of equate a stat that you could come up with to say, did he have a chance to win until after he had the chance to win? Because if you say top five, that could mean he also finished first. But I know what you're getting at. You're right. It's just, it's more, that bet would be more interesting than, is he going to win? But I mean, he's just playing so well. I said this on the TV show the other day where it's, I went through the stats, and he is in first place in 28 different stats, ranging from FedEx Cup to, you know, the strokes gained total or whatever it is. It's absolutely stunning to see what he's been able to accomplish so far this year.
Scottie Scheffler is -280 to finish in the top 10.
Wow.
-280. Wow. -140 to finish in the top 5, +270 to win. Talk about some paying some juice just to get anything back for a top five.
What do you guys think when we get, now listen, when we get to Augusta, we're going to see the LIV guys for the first time in a long time. So we're going to get Brooks Koepka in there. Joaquin Niemann's going to be in there through his Australian win. If Scottie Scheffler plays well this week, doesn't necessarily have to win, but let's just say he threatens to win. It looks like he did. He looks like he had a chance to do three in a row, which kind of keeps Scottie Scheffler's stock where it is right now. What do you think his odds are when we get to Augusta? I'm going to say he's 4-1 to win. Do you guys, the over or the under that?
I mean, boy, like, I still think they have to be at least 5, but 5-1 plus 500, but I don't know, man. Like, that's for a major chance. I know the Masters, it's a limited field. That's just a fact. So there are some players.
Well, we're 2 years removed from him being champion, right? Like, you know, he didn't win last year, but he won the year before. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm well, you know what? Well, you know what would be very interesting to see, guys, when that number comes out? How much weight the odds makers are putting in LIV Golf is what we'll find out. Because let me ask you another question. Let's say Scottie Scheffler does do what I say he's going to do this week, and he's going to have a chance to win this golf tournament, and his stock stays exactly where it is right now, which is best player, bar none, yada, yada, yada. If his odds aren't super low, I mean, if his odds have gone up a bit, and he's like a 7-1, 8-1, a 9-1, that means I think the odds makers are putting some weight in the injection of LIV golfers into that field. If they don't move and he is 5-1, 4-1, God forbid if he wins this week and he's 3-1 at Augusta or something like that, then we know the odds makers are not putting any weight in that. We're going to find out a lot how the gambling community reacts to LIV when we get to Augusta.
And certainly after what we saw last year with Brooks Koepka coming up just short, heading into the Masters and then winning the PGA Championship. And we all know where the defending Masters champion is currently playing, and that is on LIV Golf. Okay, when we come back, we'll discuss Nelly Korda's bid for the three-peat this week, and we'll profile Cabot Citrus Farms. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Movember, the official men's health partner of Golf Talk Canada. You can get involved and help change the face of men's health by visiting Movember.com today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. Visit WeatherTech.ca.
Welcome back inside GTC. Scully, Weeks, and Zacchino here. So Scottie Scheffler going for his third straight win on the PGA Tour. Nelly Korda going for a third straight win on the LPGA Tour. Bob, she's back to world number one. Do you think she has a good chance to dominate the LPGA Tour, like Scottie Scheffler currently is on the PGA Tour?
I would say yes. I think you have to remember that she didn't go on that latest Asian swing where there were three events being played over there. So she skipped on those parts. Not that that's a huge deal, but when you look at her swing, boy, it is just absolutely pure. And I think she's just really beginning to understand how good she can be and how good she is. She's got some amazing numbers. I mean, she's 75% driving accuracy, 76% greens in regulation, and a putting average that's just over 30. And that's only through three events. So I think that when she starts to really start to roll a little bit, when they start getting into the season, they've got a major coming up the week after the Masters at the Chevron Championship. So there's a lot to look forward to with Nelly Korda, but I really think she could go on a run. And the confidence is, every time she wins, her confidence level just keeps going up.
It certainly does, and we have to shout out our friends from TaylorMade, too, because Nelly Korda, Scottie Scheffler, both members of Team TaylorMade, both using the QI10 line of drivers. Scottie Scheffler is in the main one, just QI10, not the LS, QI10. Nelly Korda in the QI10 Max. Maybe we'll get into another discussion about our TaylorMade equipment during our fitness segment coming up in hour two. I made an
equipment tweak the other day.
Oh boy.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk now or do you want to
save that for hour two? No, we'll save it. You teased it.
Okay. I know our text chain is flooding right now from fans just wanting to hear the Z-Man in the gym. Anyways, last week, Mark, you were at Cabot Citrus Farms, and for listeners here in Canada, when they think of Cabot, they think of brilliance. They think of elegance. They think of top golf courses, not only in Canada, but in the world. And that's Cabot Cape Breton. Now, Cabot has expanded. Mm-hmm. We've seen many properties around the world, including Cabot St. Lucia and Cabot Citrus Farms. Before we hear about your experience at Cabot Citrus Farms, let's hear your interview with Managing Director Daniel Knight.
Daniel, thanks so much for having us. Place is spectacular. The Cabot brand, I think Canadians get excited when they see Cabot. If they're listening or watching Golf Talk Canada, obviously they start with the golf. We want to get into what you're doing here, obviously, but let's start with the golf. The current golf offering is outstanding, but I know there's more coming as well. So let's start with what they would expect if they arrived on property, say, today.
Absolutely, Mark. Well, great to have you here. Three courses available right now for golfers visiting us at Citrus Farms, two short format courses and an 18-hole course, really on the footprint of the old World Woods Golf Club that opened in the early 90s. The Karoo is an 18-hole course on the old Pine Barren site designed by Kyle Franz, who had done really some amazing work, worked with us years ago at Cabot Links, shaping bunkers, and one of his first solo designs. It's a spectacular piece of property with great rolling sand, wide open fairways, central hazards, and really impressive greens. So a really special and unique 18-hole golf offering in Florida. And our two short format courses are the Squeeze, first tee right behind us, a 9-hole course, great to play on day of arrival, day of departure, sort of a terrific hour and a half to 2 hour match play golf experience. And the Wedge, which is an 11-hole par 3 course, lit up at night, music playing, great for families and bigger groups, holes ranging between 75 to 115 yards. And of course, if that isn't enough golf, we've got the Tangerine, which is a 2-acre putting green, kind of modeled after the Himalayas and St. Andrews, as well as our driving range that has TrackMan range technology and is open well into the evening and tonight.
I think you did a wonderful balance of catering to people who are golf enthusiasts, golf crazy like myself, but did it in a way where it stays fun. It doesn't feel stuffy. It feels welcoming. And again, you've got, like, obviously you want to go play 18 holes of championship golf. You've got it, but you've got the Squeeze, the Wedge. You've done a real nice balance of fun, but still world class.
Well, I think that's always the intention, is you're always going to have golf enthusiasts and aficionados who want to travel to the world's best courses to play an 18-hole round. And in addition to Karoo, we'll have the Roost coming online. I actually have 8 holes grassed right now, ready for preview play this summer, which is on the old Rolling Oaks property, a co-design with Kyle Franz Mike Nuzzo, who built the squeeze and the wedge here, and Rand Morissette as our golf architecture advisor. So two 18-hole offerings that cater to the more traditional golfer and really are unique and complementary. But on top of that, catering to non-golfers, families, and really folks who are more pressed for time, whether they're living locally within drive to distance or looking for more golf on day of arrival and departure. So meant to be something for everyone. It's something that caters to golf enthusiasts and, you know, beginners and families alike.
Now, in terms of real estate, we've seen the four-bedroom cottage that is standing behind the first tee at the squeeze. It's absolutely fantastic. The attention to detail is unbelievable. Mrs. Golf Talk Canada was loving all the little subtle features, all the things you guys did right. There was two-bedroom offerings. And the nice thing about the real estate opportunities, it sounds to me like the majority of the ownership, at least in through the first couple phases, have jumped into the rental program. So it's a wonderful rental opportunity if you're an owner. And if you're visiting the property, you've got a lot of opportunity to, you know, to jump in and have a place to stay, do large groups, small groups, etc. Is there anything left in the first phase? What's coming in real estate?
Absolutely. Well, we found it's such an attractive master plan and land plan. You sort of drive up the entry drive and have almost a mile up to our golf house of what we call the decompression ride, these great oak trees. Really our vision was building a walkable village grounded in golf with great non-golf amenities here as well. And the cottages, we've really trended more towards that in Cape Breton and have used that model of, rather than building a hotel here, having something that feels more walkable in scale, more residential in scale. And so our first phase of real estate is sold out, which we're thrilled with. Many owners who've bought at other Cabot properties, and guests will have the opportunity to stay on site in these 2 and 4 bedroom cottages in the very near future. Next phase of real estate will launch a little later this spring or early summer, really adding more cottages and starting to get into some larger homes that we're calling fairway homes. Bit more space, bit more conducive to maybe larger groups or families who are looking to spend longer periods of time out here. So really all within walking distance to golf, each of the first tees, walking distance to the clubhouse, food and beverage outlets, and health and wellness amenities that we'll have on site here as well.
One thing that caught my eye, being from Italian descent, loving going to Europe, loving the, you know, the piazza kind of environment of a little city center in a town where there's a gathering point with restaurants and this and that. You're building a bit of that here. In future plans, how close are we to, for lack of a better term, a little city center for the community here that would represent a European village?
We're close, and it's a core part of the master plan and really vision for this place, which is we wanted to create a gathering place for golfers, for overnight guests and owners, and for members of the community. And we're in Hernando County. The county's been incredibly supportive of the project and has allowed us to move as quickly as we've been able to move. And really, you think about the history of Worldwood, a place that was beloved by so many people for close to 30 years, making sure that we had a great gathering place with, to your point, a marketplace, a general store, retail offerings, food and beverage offerings that are open to the public and the community is a core part of the vision here. So over the next few years, as we add more cottages, as we add our rackets, clay shooting, dining, fitness, and marketplace, you'll start to see more and more of that village marketplace feel come together.
All right, in closing, I know you have a ton of acreage here, and I know what we're talking about in my mind is, for lack of a better term, big vision phase one. Mm-hmm. So, which includes multiple phases of real estate, the village, additional 18-hole championship golf course, etc. What is vision down the road here? I mean, you could do multiple more golf courses. You could take this property in so many different directions. You care to tease the future for Golf Talk Canada with us?
I'll say you hit the nail on the head. It is continuing to expand really the core of the village here. So additional opportunities for real estate, additional resort amenities, and of course more golf. So plans for golf in the near future to be discussed in the very near term. Right now we're focused on the Roost and getting that open to the public, and couldn't be more excited to have folks experience that 18-hole course this summer.
Well, Danielle, I'll say it. The food has been tremendous. Your staff is incredible. They're fully engaged, invested, some of the friendliest, most knowledgeable staff that you bump into immediately arriving on property, from the food trucks to the formal dining. It's another home run. The golf, we all know you do that, five star. The whole thing's five star. So congratulations. Cabot's done it once again.
Thanks so much, Mark. Great to have you here, and couldn't be more excited to showcase what we've built here. And the team is incredibly excited to welcome guests and overnight guests now that we're open.
Awesome stuff there from Mark and Daniel Knight from Cabot Citrus Farm. So we heard a little about your experience, Mark, at Cabot Citrus Farms during that interview, but what did you think overall about your experience there? You stayed a couple of nights, is that right?
Yeah, two nights. I gotta tell you guys, I mean, we could literally talk for an hour on this. I mean, just the golf alone, the let's go mainly golf focused here because there's just not enough time. The golf is tremendous. You guys are going to love it. It's so much fun. The property is so interesting how they've, you know, used the terrain. It's not, it's a little rolling. It's got some elevation changes, unlike a lot of parts in Florida. This is up underneath Ocala, which is horse country in Florida. So there is some elevation changes up there. Sand-based. Feels a lot like Pinehurst. The golf courses are built to have a bounce in them. You're supposed to be able to play shots on the ground and have options. Each hole has a different look and feel in terms of, you know, split fairways, some force carries, some not, some are bowling alleys. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It feels like a bit of a nod to, you know, something you would see in Sand Valley, or something you would see overseas. The ground is super firm, so it truly plays like an American links. It doesn't look like it. You know, sometimes you go to Whistling Straits, it looks like a links golf course, but every time we go to Whistling Straits, whether it be Kiowa, yada, 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 it doesn't play like a links golf course. It's a dual nod, but it's an aerial attack. This is not that. There's options for so many players here. So it's great for the low handicaps who want to be challenged, and they can push it back like 7,600. You can go and just pound it all day. And, or if you're just like a weekend warrior or a beginning golfer, or you just want to have fun, you can play this golf course on the ground the majority of the way too. So you don't have to have, you know, hit it as far as Adam and as high as Adam to get around there. Right. So it's, I can't wait for you guys to go and check this out. I think you guys are going to love it. And I can't wait to see this place a year from now. I think it's only going to get better, but it's a must play. It really is. And a ton of fun, ton of fun.
And Bob, I know you've spoken with some of the owners and the creators really of Cabot. And from what you've heard, just how impressed are they about what Cabot Citrus Farms has turned into?
Yeah. I mean, I first heard about this about 4 years ago. You know, it was sort of Worldwoods. We knew Worldwoods, but it was sort of the description we got was, you know, and the thought I had of Worldwoods always was sort of this big property, two courses that were, you know, not bad, nothing tremendous. But what they've done there is really turned this into a community all in its own. So you really don't have to leave the property. And once it's finished with the additional course, and I mean, Cabot really knows how to do things. They certainly have had a lot of success when you look at Cape Breton and you look at Castle Stewart and the Highlands and you look at St. Lucia, and then you've got Revelstoke coming on board, and in talks with some of the people, you know, there's more to come, and in some unusual places if some of these things actually come to fruition. But they haven't stopped, and they don't look like it. And as Mark said, every experience you go to with Cabot, they don't leave anything to chance. It really is a wonderful experience no matter which one you go to.
Looking forward to getting a chance to go to Cabot Citrus Farms at some point, and I'll never forget, Bob, our experience at Cabot Cape Breton back in October, early October. Oh, just 24 degrees Celsius and sunny and not much wind both days. We will never, ever, ever see that again in terms of lucky weather in October. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, Mackenzie Hughes looking to play his way into the Masters. What does he have to do? We'll discuss that next.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by TaylorMade. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, home to 80 great courses, 60 miles of sandy shores, endless dining and entertainment. Visit PlayGolfMyrtleBeach.com to start planning your golf trip today.
Wrapping up hour one here on GTC, Scully, Weeks, and Zacchino here. And looking ahead to this week's Texas Children's Houston Open a little later in the show, we'll make our PGA Tour picks as Bob looks to remain on top of our season-long leaderboard so far. But this week in Houston, there are five Canadians in the field right now. Mackenzie Hughes is the guy I really want to talk about here, because Mackenzie Hughes had a great chance to win that golf tournament at the Valspar Championship. Finished T3, best finish of the season. But now for him, all eyes on the Masters. Bob, what does he have to do this week to make it inside the official world golf ranking top 50, which would then get him a berth in the Masters?
Well, according to our good friend Nosferatu, if you don't follow Nosferatu on Twitter, you should, or X, whatever it's called now. He has the ability to sort of predict and decipher and tell you what he needs to do. And so Mackenzie Hughes, according to Nosferatu, needs a two-way tie for second or better. So a two-way tie, a solo second, or a win. Of course, a win would get him in, no problem. But to get into the top 50, that's the requirement. It's possibility. I mean, you look what he's done in the last week and where his game was the week before, and if you decipher some of the stuff, I think there is a good shot that he may be able to pull it out. We'll see what he can do, but it's sort of like the old saying, you're telling me there's a chance. So you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. Mark, you were on location. You were at the Valspar Championship. You watched Mack Hughes with your own eyes up close in person. Given everything he went through last week, the short turnaround, all the pressure that lays on him now, how do you assess his chances?
I mean, his ability to pull and his desire to get to Augusta needs to outweigh his exhaustion, because I guarantee you he's tired right now. You know, I mean, that was a battle last week, and now he's going to change a time zone, only an hour, but still an hour time zone change and another flight, excuse me, leaving Florida, heading to Texas. This is your last chance to qualify through via World Golf Ranking, right? After this, there's only one way in, and that's punch your ticket to the Valero Texas Open with a victory, which we've seen Corey Connors do in the past. So it's not that it's impossible, but I mean, to Bob's point, it gets tougher the longer you go. So we're now into a tie for second or better. If we don't do it this week, the tie for second or better is gone. It's win or you're not in at the Valero. So he's got to drive the golf ball better. If he hits somewhere around 60 to 68% of his fairways, that would be a huge improvement. Is crazy if you consider a bit, but to Bob's point, he did that at the Players, and the other part of his game didn't show up. So he needs to take his Players driving and line that up with the rest of his play at the Valspar, and he should have a good week.
Just win, baby. I like that. Come on, Mackenzie. Let's get it done. 70th in strokes gained off the tee.
Scully Davis, just win, baby.
You like that. 70th in strokes gained off the tee for Mack Hughes. Last week at the Valspar, he was fourth the week before at the Players' Championship. So let's go Mack Hughes. Now, will Mack Hughes be on one of our squads this week with our PGA Tour picks? We'll discuss that and much more, including Mark's new strenuous fitness regime. That, so much more. Hour 2, GTC, in a couple minutes.
This segment of GTC, presented by TaylorMade, was brought to you by Play Golf Myrtle Beach, the golf capital of the world. Thank you for listening to Hour 1 of GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television, weekly on the TSN Television Network. This is Hour 2 of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. Why Picton Mahoney? Visit PictonMahoney.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino, Bob Weeks, and Adam Scully.
Golf Talk Canada rolls on here with hour two, the back nine here on GTC. Adam Scully, Mark Sacchino, and Bob Weeks here. Coming up in hour two, Brooke Henderson back playing on the LPGA Tour this week. We'll take a look at her chances to get in the winner's circle for the first time in 2024. Already three top tens for Brooke Henderson. We'll make our PGA Tour picks for this week's Texas Children's Houston Open. And, of course, we are going to discuss Mark's new fitness regime, a new swing change, if Mark is able to move after hashtag day one, if the T-shirts. Anyway, we'll discuss that and much more coming up. But something that FanDuel's put out that I want to discuss with the guys here is a fun little look ahead to the Canadian men's golf Olympic team, because we'll be spending a ton of time leading into that in terms of which Canadians will play on the team. Now, if we look back at recent history, 2016, Graham Dillette, David Hearn were playing for Canada on, this is just the men's side we're talking about. And in 2020, turned into 2021 with COVID, it was Corey Connors and Mackenzie Hughes. Before I give you guys the odds right now that FanDuel's put together, Bob, in terms of players playing the best right now, which two Canadian males should be playing in the Olympics, in your mind, right now?
Oh, boy. Well, Nick Taylor, I think, is the has the pilot seat. And I would say I would go with Adam Hadwin right now as the second player. But, you know, it was funny. I just in that last break, I looked up throughout the official world golf rankings this year. At the start of the year, the top two players were Connors and Hadwin. Then, after Nick Taylor won, it was Taylor and Hadwin. Then, Corey Connors had a good little stretch, so it was Taylor and Connors. And just last week, it has changed back to Taylor and Hadwin. So we've had four different combinations of two Canadians based on the three players who were in there. We're not even talking about Mack Hughes yet. But I would go with Taylor and Hadwin right now. But that second spot's going to be a battle, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And it's so cool to have so many options here of guys who are playing a lot of great golf. Mark, in your mind, if the team was being named right now, just on form right now, who would be on your squad?
Just if it was right now, okay, Nick Taylor's a lock, so I'm with Bob on that. The one seed's gone, so you parked that over there. So now it's a fight for second place. Boy, is this a hard fight. I mean, if you had asked me a month ago, I would have said Adam Hadwin. Even 3 weeks ago, I probably would have said Adam Hadwin. I'm going to go with Corey Connors just based on consistency. I think at the moment, maybe Mackenzie Hughes might be closer to winning because for obvious reasons, what we saw this weekend. And boy, I mean, he can just Jordan Spieth you to death. Like, Mackenzie Hughes can look like he's not in a tournament, not in a hole, not in a round, and just 140 feet of putts later, and he's beat you. You know what I mean? Which is a real skill set and a real dagger to a lot of people in certain formats. But I don't think we're giving Corey enough credit for his start. And maybe because he hasn't had a chance to win, but he's 8 for 8. He hasn't missed a cut this season, Corey Connors. Top 15 at the Players' Championship, top 20 at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So you could see him trending in the right direction, coming to a time of year where he plays well. Valero. Then we're going to go to Augusta. He had a great PGA last year. So we're coming to a part of the schedule for Corey Connors where he plays well. He hasn't missed a cut. And he's trending in the right direction. So I will go with Nick and Corey.
Okay, so to follow up on that, of the combinations available, Mark, would you say the betting favorite would be Nick and Corey right now?
That would be my guess. I didn't look at them. I would say that that's the betting favorite at the moment, but But I bet you it's close. I think Nick and any other combination is going to be close right now.
So right now on FanDuel, we have Nick Taylor and Corey Connors are the betting favorite to be playing together for Team Canada at -150. So we have to pay a little juice for that. Nick Taylor, Adam Hadwin, second at +250. So these guys partnered together last year at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. They're doing it again this time around, +250. Adam Hadwin, Corey Connors, interestingly, third shortest odds at +360. Nick Taylor, Adam Svensson, +650. Nick Taylor, Mackenzie Hughes, +750. So I'm a little interested in that juice there. Bob, what do you think?
Well, I just want to add to this is if you really want to dig down and look at some of the wagering, they have a bet for who is going to be the Canadian flag bearer, and both Corey Connors and Nick Taylor are at +6,500. So there you go.
Okay. Well,
I'm a little shocked that in the women's side there is no bet for Brooke Henderson to be the flag bearer.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, if you place on Nick Taylor or Corey Connors now for the flag bearer, maybe they go on to win the Masters, one of them. That'd be a pretty good flag bearer.
Exactly right.
All right, boys, I'll give you this one. 2.5. Do you want the over or the under on Canadians on the President's Cup team? 2.5.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what's great about this? And, Bob, you really opened up this can of worms talking with Mike Weir last year, the captain.
Where you I've asked got him over, that boys. I say 3. I'm going 3.
You know, I did that, and I got to admit, I stole that number from Mark. Mark put that out first, and I used it. I was doing an event at Royal Montreal last year with both Jim Furyk and Mike Weir. I did another event with the two of them in Florida in February, and both times I put it at 2.5, and Jim Furyk immediately both times went, he's going to take over. He's going to be over for sure. And Mike said, yeah, probably over. And I said, could you go to 4? He said, well, we'll have to see. I mean, there's a lot that can happen between now and September. And he was absolutely right. We'll see. You know, it could be a really interesting stat to see. I think 3 is, I think if you can get 1 to qualify through the first 6, they're going to get 6 automatic and 6 picks. Then I think 3 is a lock.
You know what would really screw this up, guys? Let's say in the next few weeks, we get an announcement from Tiger Woods and Yasser or Monahan that there's an agreement and they've created a path as well, an agreement that's been passed by the players, board of directors for how to move forward with LIV Golf, PGA Tour Enterprises, how these two are going to coexist and we have an agreement. If there's an agreement and this war is truly going to be put to bed, does that include, right now, it does not include a pathway for LIV golfers to a President's Cup, right? But under an agreement, we don't know. So if that international team could welcome back Joaquin Niemann, Cam Smith,
Mark Leishman.
I don't know if there's anybody else. So yeah, possibly. That now shrinks the possibilities, shrinks the available openings for Canadian players on that team. You would think, really, to be honest with you, right now, the only two you'd probably really add to that team on the international, like in actual form or potential to help you, would really be, you know, probably Niemann and Smith. I wouldn't add any other international player over any of our boys right now.
The only guy might be Abe Anser, I think, who had a good week last week.
Yes.
But you're right.
There might be something there, but.
We'd have to see if they'd allow shorts too. Sorry, I just had to say that. But
oh yeah,
anyway,
that's right. What about shorts and Taylor Swift? You got to play Taylor Swift, right. Don't you?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we know it's
only
gonna
if
be
there's
our...
a playoff, though.
Shake it off. Yeah, I know there's going to be. It's going to be a raucous occasion or atmosphere, I should say, at the President's Cup. And Mike Weir did say a couple weeks ago that there won't be any LIV golfers. That was a couple weeks ago. Things can change instantly. Obviously, let's hope we see as many members of Team Canada as possible on the international side at the President's Cup. Well, when we come back here on GTC, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. Mark completed, I think, day one of the gym. We're actually not sure if he did, so we'll discuss that. And we'll also get into a swing change or a club change Mark has made and what Bob and I are doing to get our bodies ready for golf season, because Bob might be running, I might be lifting the heaviest weight that I physically can. We'll have to wait and see. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. For over 18 years, our focus has been on helping Canadians stay invested in all market conditions, including this one. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. To learn more about their award-winning golf course and growing community, visit cobblebeach.com today.
Well, on Monday, it's a new era, not only in the world of golf, but in the world of fitness. Our own Mark Sacchino into the gym for the first time since who the hell knows when Mark Sacchino was last in the gym. But we discussed it. We want to hear about it. Mark, how was day one?
Well, I will tell you one thing. There is no bar in there. I thought there might be a bartender. There is no bar in the gym. And no one offering antipasta tray or a charcuterie board or anything like that. So that was upsetting. I thought maybe for day one they might offer me something on the way in, but it didn't happen. Boy, you don't realize how out of shape you are, right, until you try to go do something that you haven't done in a long time. I got through. I'm gonna go back today. So I didn't go yesterday. So I went Monday, going to go back today, in fact, right after the show. So here's what we got her down to. We're doing about 15 to 20 minutes of some form of cardio, whether it's jogging or whether it's elliptical or bicycle, or 15 to 20 minutes of cardio. I need to get that heart pumping. And then I did a lot of kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? They're like aerobic type of exercises, like jumping squats, burpees, lateral jumps, medicine ball for like turning core, that kind of stuff. I did not get into the weights. And the reason I didn't get into the weights is because I have no idea what I'm doing. And I don't know what weights I should be doing and what weights I shouldn't be doing. And I know everything I did do is good for me. Anyway, excuse me. That was this is totally foreign to me. Chris got the beat button. Thanks, Chris. Sorry, that just came out. See how foreign this is? I mean, I'm so disheveled. I'm a disheveled mess. I don't know what's going on. And but we're hoping this is better. I'll tell you one thing. I did feel Mrs. Golf Talk Canada is hilarious because she's saying on Monday night she thinks I had more energy than I've had in about 7 or 8 years. I was buzzing, couldn't go to bed, couldn't go to sleep, walking around, running around, wouldn't shut up. She's like, what's gotten into you? I go, well, I went to the gym today. She goes, so that's all it takes for you is one workout every 7 years to reset the systems.
Okay. Well, that's right. The more energy you have, you feel better. And so you went right to plyometrics, the jump squats right away. So after day one, what was the body feeling like?
Not that bad. You know, now keep in mind, I wake up in pain every morning because of my back. So my back is always hurting every morning, but I didn't notice any problems anywhere else. Like I didn't feel Tuesday, I did not feel sore. I did not feel like, so I didn't overdo it, but I guess I did enough. My Fitbit told me like my heart was going big time. So I was, you know, doing something. So, you know, we're going to stick down. And this is all along the same lines, guys, of, you know, a couple of little swing changes and a potential setup and equipment change. there's lots going on down here in, you know, my 90 minutes that I have off every day. Because that's, you know, that's why I get about 90 minutes off every day.
Yeah, yeah, and you're on quite a stretch. But that's all you need. You just need 90 minutes. It's like that old Bowflex commercial. You know, three times a week, 20 minutes a day, and it'll change your life forever.
Right.
Maybe it's not 20 minutes a day, maybe a little more. But, Bob, we just heard about Mark's amazing new fitness regime. For you, right now, we're in March. I gotta think this weather is it peak running weather, or
yeah,
are we not quite there yet?
No, we're peak. This is when all the races are happening. There was one I was signed up for. I had to go at a bypass because of a family situation, but that was March 5th. And pretty much every weekend right now between, say, here in Ottawa and Montreal, there's a race on. I got one on May 5th, which is kind of at the tail end. Yeah, you want it. This is great running. I love this kind of like 8-9 degrees, run out in shorts and stuff and keep it going. And I now do strength training twice a week. I should probably do it one more time, but because when you get old, boy, you lose your strength. The muscles start to fall away pretty quick, as Mark may be just finding out now.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. And Bob, this might be a really stupid question. This might not be a really stupid question, but do you think when you're in better physical shape running, that actually helps you if you're walking a golf course and say you're on the 14th hole and it's 32 degrees Celsius on August 17th in terms of cardio, in terms of not getting tired near the end of your round?
Without a doubt. The better, I mean, you know, being a runner, I think you get a lot of stability in your lower part of your body, which helps your golf swing. And you also get a lot of, you know, you can go for a longer time for walking and doing things. It's helped my golf immensely over the years and helped me feel good. It does everything right. As Mark might be finding, I mean, I sleep better. I do all sorts of different things better now that I'm really committed. And I have been committed for quite a long time, just as you are, Adam. I know that you do the same kind of stuff in your workouts.
Yeah, so you guys know me. I was a goalie back in my athletic prime, so I'm a little different, some would say, in terms of routines and that sort of thing. And for me personally, COVID changed the way that I worked out. Pre-COVID, you go to a gym, do whatever you got to do in the gym. But now with home equipment and that sort of thing, I'm very active. And Mark, to your point, on body weight stuff. So I have a chin-up bar actually right beside me here. We're not on TV, so I'll just show you guys there. That it's not full height. It's called a base bar, not to give a free ad. But it's I can't go all the way down if I was to stand. So I put my legs out, and that helps strengthen the core. And there's several other things I do for triceps and other, you know, legs, everything that works. And a bit of a funny story. Last Wednesday, Bob, we were shooting speed golf, and the way we do that, my hands were sort of pressed on the table, and producer extraordinaire Mike Kaczynski came in my ear and said, is there something wrong? Because I was trying to loosen up my arm, and I was actually experiencing a muscle cramp in my tricep. So that might tell you that I might need to dial in the hydration a little more. Some
yeah.
would say maybe it might have been a hair on the dehydrated side. But the beauty now with, as we all know, with things like the Swing Lab Performance and Therapy Center, Bob, I hope you do know that hopefully soon, that you get to go check it out. To get ready for golf season, everyone's body's different. Because, and the beauty of this show is that all three of us are in slightly different demographics where, you know, Bob, for you, you're a huge runner, but you want to stay loose, you want to stay limber, you want to stay flexible. Mark, you haven't been to a gym since 1990.
I don't know if there's a two in front of it ever, to be honest with you.
Okay. So that's, and then for me, I like to work out 5 or 6 days a week. So there's different ways to get ready for golf season. But Mark, for you, what are your goals here? Is it just overall better health? Are you trying to find a
yeah.
different number on the scale? What are you hoping to do with this?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's interesting. It's like, I've always done, as you guys know, like, I do worry about keeping my speed up from a golf standpoint. You know, 50's around the corner. I'll be 50 in just over a year. I turn 49 in a couple of weeks. And, you know, you these are just numbers, but your body does change at certain points. I remember the first time I noticed my body changing. I think was age 34, 35. I would wake up in the morning and I went, I don't remember getting into a fight at 3 a.m. How is everything sore, right? Like, what happened? I went to bed feeling fine. And now I get up and I feel like I was in, you know, a gang fight of some kind. So you've got to do things to fight Father Time. So for me, most of it has always been two things. Golf swing, to keep some of my speed up and some of that going, and fatigue. Like, I don't like feeling tired. I don't. And our schedules, guys, are tough. I know we have a great time here. We love doing this show. You guys are friends and family to me. We're lucky we get to work together. And I'm lucky I get to work with a lot of great people all the time. But we're constantly working all the time. You know, some people that follow us on social media and whatnot, it might look glamorous and we get to travel all these like warm weather places. And yeah, we get to see great things and all that. But we are working 24/7. And I was noticing in the last 6 months, I was complaining to it to Mrs. Golf Talk Canada, a fatigue level. I was never a big sleeper. And now I'm like crashing for 8.5, 9, 9.5 hours. I can't get out of bed. I'm like, there's something going on here. And part of it was a little bit of a medical thing I've been dealing with, as you guys know. But this is something that can I can combat that by getting the heart pumping, by getting that cardio going again. That's why cardio, I think, is so important to me, as well as those aerobic type exercises to keep the heart rate up. We're, you know, obviously muscle tone and stuff, it's important, everything. But for me in my particular situation right now is fatigue and speed. That's where I'm looking. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes, right? I got to do something because I can walk. As you guys know, I can walk 15,000, 20,000 steps a day. That's no problem. But I walk, that the heart rate never really gets to anywhere it needs to be to deal with, you know, fatigue and being sluggish and whatnot.
Well, I mean, we're so happy that you're in the gym right now. Hashtag day two going on a little later. Maybe we should get, the t-shirts, the tank top, the muscle shirts, maybe with fatigue and speed. That sort of goes together, perhaps. And Mark, to your point about age, I'm 32 now. I've got about a trillion gray hairs peeking in through. You can really see it on the TV lights. You can really see it on the TV lights. But what we're going to do here on GTC heading into golf season, we'll throw some stretches, some exercises that you can do at home, whether you're 75 or 25, just to get your body loose, agile, ready, and hey, maybe ready to hit some bombs this year in 2024. Okay, when we come back here on GTC, we'll make our PGA Tour picks. Will I finally take Scottie Scheffler on my team this week? That's all coming up next here on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cobble Beach, Georgian Bay's extraordinary waterfront golf resort community. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Cadillac and the all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. From Lyric to the first ever Escalade IQ, there will be a Cadillac EV icon for you.
So we just spent 10 minutes talking about fitness and the importance of going to the gym. Just seeing now on Twitter that Wyndham Clark injured his back working out in the gym on Monday, was able to get through 9 holes in the Pro-Am, but still injured his back. So something we're going to have to monitor this week. We know Wyndham Clark loves going to the gym. We saw some of those shots out of the rough, especially at the Players Championship, where he was leading the field in strokes gained grunting because he really had to thrash the ball out of the rough. But Wyndham Clark, let's see. Hopefully he's back and healthy. Second shortest odds this week heading into the Texas Children's Houston Open at plus 1,200. Okay, it is that time. Let's make our PGA Tour picks this week. For those who haven't heard before, every week on the show, we make 3 picks heading into that week's PGA tournament. Normally, 2 sort of favorites, 1 maybe a little further down the line in terms of value and their odds. And as we know, this season on the PGA Tour has been the year of the long shot. Now, aside from Scottie Scheffler, who won the Arnold Palmer Invitational and the Players' Championship as the pre-tournament betting favorite, aside from him, Jake Knapp, the shortest pre-tournament odds before winning a tournament at 40-1. Those were his odds heading into the Mexico Open at Vedanta. As a point of comparison, last week heading into the Valspar Championship, Peter Malnati's odds were 350-1, which is ludicrous. Okay, Bob, this week, who was your first pick?
I'm going with this long shot. I thought I would just start off with that, Scottie Scheffler.
And
what is he, plus 270? As we were talking about earlier in the show, I counted up the number of stats and records where he is number one, and there were 28 different categories, which I found. He's also played this golf course pretty well. Oh, by coincidence, he actually holds the course record with 62 that he shot back in 2021. A couple of top 10 finishes here in his last two appearances, so I don't think that I'm going to be the only one picking Scottie Scheffler.
Mark, plus 270 for Scottie Scheffler. Is he on your team too?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like almost moving forward, guys. Almost moving forward, if Scheffler's in the field, I'm making two picks each week. Because I just give me Scotty, because crazy if you don't have him. To Bob's point, leading all those categories, course record, two top tens, close call in 21 with the tie for second. I mean, how do you not have him on this team? It's just, I mean, going for three in a row. We haven't seen that since 2017 on the PGA Tour. I was thinking about when the last time we saw the number one male golfer in the world going for three in a row, and it also having on the LPGA Tour, and I came up with in my head, it probably is Tiger Woods and Annika Sorsam, or Tiger Woods and Lorena Ochoa. Probably a combination of something like that. I mean, that's how rare this is to have it happening on both sides of the male and female game at the same time. Yep, give me Scottie Scheffler all day long, and if he doesn't finish in the top five this week, I may add weights to my routine next week as punishment.
Yeah, well, I'll get you on the deadlifting routine I'm currently on, Mark. We can assess from there. Now, you guys know me. I like to pick some different players just so we're all talking about different guys on the show. But then when I look at our season-long leaderboard, well, there I am in last. And I don't know about you guys, I don't like losing. So this week, for the first time in our PGA Tour picks history, I am taking the betting favorite. I have never done this on our show. Never picked the betting favorite, but I have to. I have to do it with Scottie Scheffler, plus 270 right now. You guys mentioned a host of different reasons. Oh, just 28 different categories that he is leading in, Bob, to your point. I'm looking at his final round scoring average, though. If he is trailing heading into that final round, his scoring average on Sunday is 66. So take a look at Scottie Scheffler. If he is further down the board heading into the final round on Sunday this week, Scottie Scheffler, my first pick. Mark, let's go to you. Who is your second pick this week?
So my second pick, and I am just checking my email because I believe he will be in my group tomorrow morning. No, he will not. He will not be in my group tomorrow morning. Scottie Scheffler will be in my group tomorrow morning,
nice,
hosting featured group coverage on TSN Plus. But my second pick is 8 for 8 in cuts made this year. He is fifth in strokes gained tee to green, but he's been putting with a live snake, to steal a line from David Faraday. Off a T6 at the Players, I'm going to go with Siwoo Kim. He's a ball striking machine. And the reason I was checking to see if it was in my group tomorrow is what I was going to say to you guys is, what I am hoping is when I get my first glimpse of Siwoo Kim tomorrow, he's got a broomstick putter. This is a guy that has bounced back and forth and is not committed to going to the long wand. He's not committed to the short wand. He's just non-committal with the putter. And his putting is horrible. 130th in strokes gained on the PGA Tour. I just want Siwoo Kim to commit to that long putter. He putted beautifully with it when he first introduced it into his golf bag. I don't know why he didn't stay with it. If we show up tomorrow and he's got the long putter, I kind of think he is on the verge of a win at any moment, guys. He is top 10-ing, and he's wearing a blindfold on the greens.
Siwoo Kim, 30-1 or plus 3,000 right now. A really wild, viral moment in recent Masters history a couple of years ago. Siwoo Kim putting on the 15th hole, missed his putt, slammed his putter down at a pretty hard pace, I should say, On the 16th hole, he was putting with his 3-wood. So let's just say the putter did not last the round. Bob, who's your second pick?
I'm going with a local boy, going with Sahith Tagala, who lives in nearby Spring, Texas, which I didn't know where Spring, Texas was, but it's about half an hour from Houston. If you are in the Toronto area, it's kind of like living in Mississauga, I think, or maybe Oakville or something. Anyway, he tied for 22nd last time this tournament was held, and yeah, that included a Sunday 64. So a good closer on this golf course, and he has been riding a hot putter of late. In fact, he led the field in strokes gained putting at the Players' Championship when he had a top 10 there. And he's had top 10s in 3 of his last 4 starts. So I like that stat as well. And I think he's overdue for a little champagne out of the trophy.
Sahith Tagala plus 1600 right now on FanDuel. Currently has the third shortest odds. They were a little higher earlier in the week at plus 1800. I'm curious to see how or if the odds do alter with this Wyndham Clark injury news that has just come down about 10 minutes ago on X. Okay, my second pick this week is Will Zalatoris. Now, Zalatoris missed the cut in his last start at the Players, but prior to that, a T4 at Bay Hill, T2 at the Genesis. Zalatoris, 6th in strokes gained approach, 21st in strokes gained total from the area as well, to your point, Bob. Now, the putting, we know it is either make or break for Will Zalatoris, but with that broomstick putter, I'm not immediately changing the channel from vomiting looking at his putts from inside 5 feet, because that stroke at times, it got a little hairy, to say the least. Will Zalatoris plus 1,800 right now on FanDuel. Bob, let's go to you. Who's your third and final pick?
I'm going with Mackenzie Hughes, and I got to admit, part of this choice is with my heart rather than my brain, but I would really love to see him try to get into the Masters. And I think we were talking about this on TV when I said that after his last round at the Players' Championship, Graham Dillette was talking with his caddy, Julian Trudeau, who used to be Graham's caddy, and Julian was saying he's really on the cusp of playing some spectacular golf. And Graham sort of said, you know, players know when, even if the score doesn't add up, that they know they're really close. And a lot of times they say it, it's lip service, but this time I think it really is something. And I went back and looked at his stats through Data Golf, and we were talking earlier in the show how he putted so well at Valspar, putted terribly at the Players. In fact, all 4 rounds he was in the negative for putting, which is unusual for him, and vice versa with strokes gained off the tee, where he was all 4 rounds positive at the Players and negative at Valspar, as Mark had to witness. So I think that right now, if he can put those things together, could be a good finale and a good way to get a 5th Canadian into the Masters.
It would be awesome to be recapping a Mackenzie Hughes win on Monday during GTC Radio. Mac Hughes right now plus 5,500, 55-1 on FanDuel. I should also mention he has the lowest odds, or shortest odds, to be top Canadian this week on FanDuel at plus 180. Mark, over to you. Who is your third and final selection?
Before I give my third and final selection, I am not losing my mind. I just tomorrow on marquee group coverage, not featured group, sorry, marquee group coverage, I am with Scotty Scheffler, Peter Malnati, and Will Zalatoris. So a lot of our picks there. And then in the afternoon, our marquee group coverage will then switch to Wyndham Clark, Tony Finau, and Siwoo Kim. So I knew Siwoo was in there somewhere. So and then, of course, Friday, we will flip that. But a lot of our picks, guys, are in our TSN Plus coverage this week, funny enough. And on that theme, I am going to stick with someone who's already been picked. I like Tagala as well. I'm with Bob on this. 64 in the final round here the last time we played. A nice finish, a top 10 at the Players, 4th in strokes gained total. He's a great putter. I think Tagala, it's just a matter of time before we get the second win. I like Sahith Tagala this week as my final pick.
Sahith Tagala plus 1600 on FanDuel. Another random fact, apparently one of the best chess players on the PGA Tour, if that means anything. Sahith Tagala loves his chess.
Hey, you know, Adam, you know what I didn't see? Did you guys pick up his press conference yesterday? Who's the gentleman we had on Monday who won on PGA Tour America? Clay Fable. I didn't realize that Tony and their friends, they grew up with Clay. They were following it online. They were all like seeing if he could pull through on PGA Tour America. It's very cool. Very cool.
They were
story.
Teammates. teammates at Pepperdine, and apparently they after his win, Fagler came out, was at Tigala's house, and they watched the conclusion of The Bachelor together. So that's in your scope of things, Scully.
I mean, that's the first Bachelor mention we've had on Golf Talk Canada in a couple. If you guys have 4 hours, we can take a deep dive. And... Anyways, my third and final pick has not been on The Bachelor before, I don't think. Tom Hoagie, that's my third and final pick. Now, like Mackenzie Hughes, he is just outside the top 50 in the official world golf ranking. In fact, he's 57th right now, so needs a very high finish. We know a win will get in for Tom Hoagie in his quest to qualify for the Masters. Hoagie has played well this year. Two top 10s, two other finishes of T17 or better. Second in strokes gained approach. Love the value here, too. Plus 5,000 for a win, or 50-1, plus 500. For a top 10 finish. So those are all of our picks this week. Stay tuned to Instagram a little later when we'll also post that on social media. You can watch the video version of this right now on tsn.ca for other reasons why we like each of these three players. When we come back here on GTC, we'll give a little preview of Brooke Henderson back in action this week, looking for her first win in 2024. Already has three top 10s. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Cadillac's all-electric vehicles that get you in the game. Choose from a $750 credit with Flow or installation of a Level 2 home charging capability from Qmerit when you purchase or lease a new Cadillac Lyric. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management. This segment of GTC is brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more.
Congratulations to Christina Botello, who is the winner of our first Adidas Tour 360 24 draw of the season. Stay tuned to our social media channels for many more giveaways from our friends from Adidas Golf. This week on the LPGA Tour, it is the Ford Championship presented by KCC. Brooke Henderson back playing, and Elena Sharp also in the field too. And Bob, there's a cool little connection here with Elena Sharp, isn't there?
There is. This is actually a fairly new golf tournament that really was only started, like they only sort of confirmed this about 2 months ago. Anyway, it's being played at Elena Sharp's home golf course. And she is going to, she got a sponsor exemption because that obviously she's a homebody. So she's going to play. I mean, I can't think of any player who ever anywhere, male, female, who gets to play a professional tournament on their home golf course. That's pretty cool. I mean, I guess maybe Webb Simpson at Charlotte at Quail Hollow or something, but might be a couple here or there. But Mark, do you know any?
Sea Island, the Sea Island Mafia at the RSN
that's
Classic.
True.
There's a
that's
couple,
true.
But not many, guys.
Yeah, not many, but that's a cool opportunity for Elena Sharp. As for Brooke Henderson, coming off her worst finish of the season, which is a T27, by the way. So playing some really good golf here. Bob, for you, what do you need to see from Brooke Henderson this week in terms of getting back into the mix?
Just more of the same. I think this is a start where they kind of get into a consistent flow now. If that's something that they don't have, you know, they played a couple of tournaments and then they had a break and then they went to Asia and then they had a break and now they're going to roll. This is the sort of the start of the stretch that goes into the first major at the Chevron. And I would love to see Brooke be competitive in every event leading up to it, and especially, of course, at the Chevron, which is going to be the week after the Masters. Usually it was the week before, kind of got lost in the shuffle. Also had to go head-to-head with the ANWA. So now they've got their own week, and I think that's a great move by the LPGA.
Absolutely. Looking forward to seeing Brooke Henderson and a couple of other Canadians back in the field this week, including Monami LeBlanc, who was the 18-hole leader last week on the LPGA Tour. Mark, for you, you're off to TSN Plus PGA Tour live duties. Before we sign off here, I see you're already standing up. Are you warming up now for your latest workout, or what's going on over there?
So I'm starting the stretcher out, loosen up the back, doing my stretches. I got my Fitbit on my right hand. I've taken off my 007 Omega and have replaced it with my Apple Watch. I have got enough gear to do my 30 minutes. I am set. 30 minutes in. And I'm ready to go here. And I'm pumped about this week. The only place you can see all 18 holes of world number one, Scottie Scheffler, TSN Plus, kids.
And Mark will be on the call for that. Can't wait to hear and see your call on that. Mark, Bob, for you, a little later today, we have Speed Golf and 3 Handicap. And it's been a couple weeks since we've got it done on 3 Handicap. What do you say, Bob? Is this our week to get back in the winner's
circle? Yeah, I'll point out that 2 weeks ago, I was the guy who let us team down. Last week, I think you were the guy that let the team down. So we're kind of like Mackenzie Hughes' golf game. If we can get our things together, we can pull off another winner.
I have a question, guys. In all of our TSN Edge FanDuel picks over the years, have we ever had a week where all three of us had the winner? I know there's many weeks where there's been two of us. Bob and I just did it at the Players. But if Scottie Scheffler were to get 3 in a row, would we make Golf Talk Canada history this week?
We would make Golf Talk Canada history. The alarm bells would sound off. A lot would happen. There's only been a couple times where we've all picked the same player. So what I think, he's either going to win or I don't think he's going to miss the cut, but I'm thinking something interesting is happening this week with Scottie Scheffler. I've never picked the pre-tournament betting favorite for this segment before, so a little history in that. But looking forward to seeing Scottie Scheffler in action amongst many others this week on the PGA Tour. Okay, that wraps up our first leg of our GTC triple header today. Join us again, 2 p.m. TSN 1 and 4, 5 p.m. on TSN 2. Gents, been a fun one today. Mark, good luck in the gym. Make sure you stretch after. Maybe hit up a steam, a cold tub, the works. I've never seen you this excited before, so looking forward to hearing many more on the reaction on your workout today. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. And remember, the first good decision for the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Picton Mahoney Asset Management, was brought to you by Adidas Golf and the new Tour 360 24. Tour 360 raises the bar of premium high-performing golf shoe with its improved traction, stability, and comfort, wrapping you with all the confidence you need on the course. Elevate your game with a pair this season by visiting adidas.ca/tour360 to learn more. Thank you for listening to GTC. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For show archives, podcasts, and all things GTC, visit golftalkcanada.com. And don't miss Golf Talk Canada Television weekly on the TSN Television Network.